Alright. Hey, it's Chrissy. Shelby's also here, but this is my mini episode, so she's just listening in.
Tell me a story.
I'm telling Shelby a story. I have this book. It's called The Big Book of Serial Killers by Jack Rosewood and co-author Rebecca Lowe. So I'm going to read some smaller serial killers stories. All the information is from this book because I wanted to do these quick and efficient. And I think they're interesting. So this episode is Charles Albright. He was born on August 10th, 1933. His aliases and nicknames are the Dallas Ripper, the Dallas Slasher, and the Eyeball Killer.
It makes me just think he killed the eyeballs.
He did not. Well, I mean, he did eventually kill eyeballs. Because I think once you remove them, they die.
True.
Characteristics were removal of the victim's eyes. He has killed... The date of the murders ranged from December 1990 to March
1991. That's a long time for just three.
It's not really. December 1990.
Never mind.
It's like months.
I don't know time. Continue.
It's like 4 months, bud. The date of the arrest was March 22nd, 1991. The murder method was shooting. He had his known victims were Shirley Williams, Mary Lou Pratt, and Susan Peterson. And this happened in Texas. Right? Ready for the story?
Yes.
He was adopted by Fred and Dell Albright after they discovered him in an orphanage. Fortunately for Albright, Dell was a school teacher and he was able to jump two grades at school due to her diligence and help with his education. She was a strict parent, though, yet was very overprotective of Albright at the same time. Okay. Which, she was protective of him. As a teenager, he began shooting small animals with a gun and showed some interest in taxidermy, which we just recorded the Dahmer episode, so we know that that's never a good thing. Mm-mm. Unless you're brought into it, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, you can...
Or if you do it for a creative purpose.
Yeah.
His mother, who wanted to encourage him and his hobby, would help him stuff the dead animals. By the time he was 13, he had already been arrested for aggravated assault and was also known to be a petty theft. Thief. Not theft.
A petty thief.
A petty thief. This accelerated... Like, he had an accelerated education. It enabled him to finish school at 15 years old and enroll in college.
Wow.
He planned to become a doctor, but he was able to complete his pre-med schooling.
He was or was not?
Was not.
Oh, okay.
Unable. Not able.
Okay.
Again, he was arrested by the police at the age of 16 for theft. Thief. Thievery.
Theffery.
And this time, he was sent to prison for a year. On his release, he enrolled in a teacher's college, majoring in pre-med studies, but he was thrown out of college when stolen property was found in his possession.
Good.
It was at this time that Albright embarked on a career in forgery. He created documents showing that he attained both a bachelor's and master's degree. Both were false. And he began forging signatures. He married his girlfriend from college, and they welcomed a daughter. Albright continued to forge checks, and while he was working as a teacher at a high school, his forgery was discovered, and he was put on probation. The couple divorced in 1974, and he was caught stealing merchandise from a hardware store worth hundreds of dollars. He was sent to prison again. This time for 2 years. However, he was released after only serving 6 months. I don't like that.
No.
On his release, he made friends with his neighbors, and he became a trusted babysitter for children in the neighborhood.
No.
Again, that's like Richard Speck.
No.
During a visit to a friend's home in 1981, he was caught molesting their 9-year-old daughter. At court, he pled guilty and was only placed on probation. According to Albright, he wasn't guilty, but he said he was to avoid hassle. Yeah. In 1985, he was driving to Arkansas, where he met a lady named Dixie. Who she moved in with him quickly, and before long, she was supporting him and paying his bills. In the early mornings, he would deliver newspapers, but that wasn't all he was doing. He was also visiting prostitutes without Dixie knowing.
Oh.
My sister's dog's name is Dixie.
Supporting local business.
Albright's first murder took place on December 13th, 1990. The body of sex worker Mary Lou Pratt was discovered in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of Dallas. She had been killed by gunshot in the back of her head with a .44 caliber gun. On examination, she was wearing only a t-shirt and bra, and both of them had pushed up to expose her breasts. Her eyes were shut, and her face and chest were covered in bruises. The medical examiner lifted her eyelids and discovered that both of her eyes had been removed and taken away from the scene. On February 10th, 1991, the body of another sex worker was found, and she was almost completely nude. Her name was Susan Peterson, and she was shot through the top of her head. Which, for some reason, that grosses me out more than, like, execution style. Just, like, getting shot up here.
Oh, I thought they meant, like, here.
See, I top of head would... I would be here. This is the forehead.
Oh, like, straight down?
For some reason, that makes me more nauseous. I don't know why. Oh. Once the back of her head... Oh, once in the back of her head, and once in her left breast. That's a little overkill.
What the hell?
Her body was found just outside the city limits of South Dallas, and she, too, was missing her eyes. Shirley Williams was the third sex worker found dead in the area. She had been shot twice, once through the top of her head and once through the face. She suffered a beating with multiple bruises on her face and a broken nose, and her eyes had also been taken away.
Great.
Albright was arrested and charged with 3 counts of murder on March 22nd, 1991. I don't know how he was caught. I'm probably going to read more about it because I forget.
Mm-hmm.
The trial started on December 13th, and it seemed at first that the prosecution's case was going to collapse as most of the evidence was only circumstantial.
Okay.
However, there was strong forensic evidence as hairs from the murders of Shirley Williams matched to Albright's.
Okay.
So, I still don't know how they caught him originally. I wonder if Dixie was like, yeah, my husband has been going away at night. I guess they were husband and wife, but...
Now he's got a jar full of eyes.
He likes them eyeballs. By December 18th, 1991, the jury had already adjourned to deliberate, and they quickly returned with the verdict... Only for the murder of Shirley Williams, because they couldn't prove the other ones.
Okay.
As a result, he was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole, and will spend the rest of his natural life in prison. A little bit of trivia about him was he removed the eyes from all 3 victims, all of which were sex workers, like I just said.
Did they ever find the eyes?
I don't know.
And I wonder the significance of the eyes.
There was an episode of Criminal Minds where this guy, I'm gonna have to watch that episode because I think they mention him in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was a taxidermist, and they're like, yeah, the eyes were really messed up in all of his taxidermy. And it turns out he's putting human eyes in his taxidermy.
Oh.
I wonder if that's where they got this, and I think they mention him in it. I'm gonna have to watch that because Spencer's like, yeah, you know how like Spencer would be like, yeah, Charles Albright, like...
There was a murder called Charles Albright, and he actually removed the eyes of his victims.
They were all sex workers, but, you know.
Yeah. He killed in a 4-month time period.
Your voice got so deep.
It worked, didn't it?
All right, Spencer. He was, as they said, a Renaissance man. He was fluent in French? French and Spanish.
Oh,
he was a painter. And he was able to woo women by playing, I always want to say it as Chopin. It's Chopin, isn't it?
Chopin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chopping.
That reminds me of Jess and Kelsey.
And he could recite Keats poetry.
When she tries to make shoe pastry, just like, you mean chowed?
What?
Don't you were there.
Was I?
There's certain things that Kelsey will make that have like French names, like shoe pastry. And Kelsey's like, or Jess is like, yeah, and I call it chowed just to piss her off.
I forgot about
there
that.
There was something else too, and she's like, no! It was so funny.
Our friend Kelsey is
amazing cook.
Pastry chef.
And normal chef. She makes great food.
I want to marry her.
Her Brussels sprouts are fucking delicious.
Kelsey, if you're listening, I love you.
Bring me them Brussels sprouts. Your husband doesn't appreciate you like I do.
Your food, anyway.
Yeah.
We know he appreciates you.
But I want that food.
You didn't grow up with her. I went to high school and...
Did she make you Brussels sprouts in high school?
No, but one time this girl in our... We had a homeroom together in 10th grade? 10th grade, maybe? Mm-hmm. And this girl in our... We had just started tech school, so, like, Kelsey and I both went to tech school. And this girl who also was in Cosmo school, which is at our tech school, mm-hmm. she was, like... Kelsey had food colorings, like, gel colors.
Yeah.
And this girl in our class always brought, like, spaghetti for breakfast. She was real weird. She was not great.
I have a side note to that, but continue.
So, she was like, I want to put food coloring in my spaghetti. So, we put pink food coloring in her spaghetti. And our teacher was like, what is wrong with you? Because she's just eating a plate of hot pink spaghetti. Because, like, it was already red. So, like, if you add pink food coloring, it was, like, fluorescent. Ooh. Anyway, that was the story. There was my mini episode with Kinda Shelby. All right.
I had a friend who would bring Cool Whip in a Play-Doh container in her lunch and eat it.
That's disgusting.
It is.
I'm upset.
Yeah, and everyone thought she was eating Play-Doh.
It's salty. Don't try it.
Thank you for the pro tip.
Don't eat Play-Doh. It's a lot of salt.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.